It's our privilege today to have as our chapel speaker Pastor Willie Thompson. Pastor Thompson graduated from Bob Jones in 1979 with a bachelor's degree in Bible, and then in 1999 with an MA in pastoral studies. He's currently serving as the senior pastor of Paramount Park Baptist Church here in Greenville, and has been doing so since 2001. Before that, he served for 12 years as assistant pastor of that same church. Pastor Thompson is no stranger to Bob Jones University. He received the Alumni Appreciation Award in 1998, and having served on the staff of WMUU from 1979 until 1998. Pastor Thompson brought his wife along today, Tracy. They have two children and seven grandchildren, for which my wife and I are greatly jealous. So open up your Bibles and listen to what the Lord would have to say to you through Pastor Thompson today. God bless you, Pastor Thompson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carper. It is indeed a great privilege to be here. I am greatly indebted to Bob Jones University. When I came in 1975, I came here not knowing what to expect, but it was indeed an honor to be here, and I came to have some great friends. I also came to love the faculty and the staff, and I thought about it this morning about how many people could I name as being people who helped me greatly in school. But then I thought about it. Well, I said, that's too difficult to do. So the ones I'm indebted to the faculty and staff of Bob Jones University, I really am. And the people that I will make mention of are already those with the Lord. I think namely of Miss Joyce Parks. I think also of Pastor Jesse Boyd, Dr. Gilbert Stenholm, and Mr. Bob Pratt in the speech department. Mr. Pratt had a statement that he often said to us whenever we were in speech class, voice and diction, you haven't got it. You haven't got it. And we'd have to work on making sure that we had said the words just right. I do remember many, many hours of working in voice and diction, trying to do the thing that should have been done, speaking the way that I should speak. Having grown up not very far from here at Bob Jones University, I grew up in a little town called Woodruff, South Carolina, not very far from here. And I eventually wound up back home, met my wife here in Greenville, South Carolina. I often tell her she grew up in the little country town of Greenville. I grew up in the big metropolitan area of Woodruff, South Carolina. The town in which I grew up had two traffic lights. One main street. You drove through it, and every town has one main street, but this one had one street. A traffic light at one end, another traffic light at the other end. You knew you were leaving, you knew when you were coming out. So it was a little bit different from Greenville. But my wife and I have been married for 39 years. Lord willing, coming up in August, we'll be married 40 years. And we do, as Mr. Carper said, the seven grandchildren. And I often tell my children they are the best babysitters for our grandchildren that we could find. They are indeed, it's a great thing to have them as the babysitters for our grandchildren. We couldn't do it. And as a young man, when I came to school here, we had one child, a two-year-old son. He was born in 74. Well, he was a little over over a year or so. But when we came here, I had to learn many things about trusting the Lord. And I learned a lot of things about trusting the Lord by watching how our son trusted me and trusted us as parents. We learned from the younger set. And I often ask the Lord, Lord, why would you give me a son when I'm so young and inexperienced? But now that we have seven grandchildren, I no longer ask that question. The young children have so much energy and so many questions that they want to ask, and they're on the go all the time. They come in the house and they say this, and can I touch this, and can I play with this and that, and so on and so forth. No. It's no problem. They say, no problem. You've got many items around here. I can go to everything. Our oldest grandchild is 13 and our youngest is 5. So we have a lot. Enjoy them. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Having said that concerning children, I want to ask you this, and I'm sure many of you have said it. When you're traveling on a long trip, what generally is a question that children ask after having traveled for some time? Are we there yet? Right? Exactly. They want to know, are we there yet? How much further do we have to go? Well, I found this phrase in the scriptures here in 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read the first seven verses of 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Keep that in mind, please. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt in the brook Cherith, that was before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Let us pray. Holy God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of the living God, that thou hast talked. Thou hast given someone the words to write, and thou hast preserved the word. We know what the mind of God is in this matter, and we ask that the Spirit of God would use this preacher, this voice, to glorify the Lord God of heaven. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we pray. Amen. As we do consider what the Lord has done and is doing, we have heard of stories that people have missed appointments because they've gone to the wrong place, or they have misunderstood the instructions that were given to them, and they have missed out on something that was very important. Many times in wars, there are instructions about very special rendezvous. You must be at a certain place by a certain time, and you'll recognize the person who is to pass on the information, or a person who's to pick up the information, or to pick up the product. And if you fail to be there, you'll miss the important communication. So therefore, when we're serving the Lord has specific places for us to be. Are we there yet as we travel through life? You wonder, am I at the place of God's choosing? I am here at Bob Jones University. I am serving, I'm preparing to serve the Lord where he would have me to be. Have I arrived at that place? Well, if you're studying, of course not. You're in preparation. You're going to go to that place one day. I shall never forget one of the men who said this to us as preacher boys back in the 70s. You think you're busy now, he said. Wait until you get into the ministry. You think your classes are demanding now. Wait until you get into the ministry. And he was right. He was right. The demands are great. The hours are long. But the payoff is wonderful. Because it's wonderful to see what the Lord does in the lives of people who have heard the word of God, who have obeyed the Lord, and who have gone to those places of God's choosing. You see, Elijah, this man of whom we are speaking, was a man who appeared mysteriously on the scene. And his appearance is so mysterious until some have believed that the Lord was referring to an angel. But I don't believe it, that he was. I think the Lord was calling this man a human being, a person, such as you and I. And James, the book of James, says that Elijah was a man of like passion, which means that the various feelings you feel, the various trials you face, are the same kinds of trials that Elijah faced. And he had to look to the Lord just as you and I have to look to him. So Elijah did appear mysteriously on the scene, but he was an ordinary man because there was a geographical location from which he came, And he experienced the matter of being depressed and discouraged. He didn't want to go on, and he even asked the Lord to take his life. But the Lord didn't do that. The Lord spared his life. He had an appointment, and the Lord says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Let's do this. If the Lord takes a person from, say, the balcony and says, I've commanded the ravens to feed you here, and you say, but I like the balcony, and so I'll stay in the balcony, and I'll trust God in the balcony, but God has commanded you to feed you here. Where do you suppose you're going to experience the blessings of the Lord? Where you like or where he has told you to go? The place to which he is addressing your mail is the place you should go. The place to which he's sending these supplies is the place to which you should go. Now, I consider this, and I would that you would as well, that Elijah was a man who had normal feelings. Lord, you want me to go to where and do what? Now, I believe Elijah was already there. I believe he was already at the stage where the Lord wanted him to be. I don't believe he questioned the Lord when the Lord says, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I don't believe he questioned the Lord when the Lord said to Elijah, go speak to Ahab. Ahab was the king. And tell Ahab this. Notice in that first verse, Elijah tells Ahab, the wicked king, that there is to be no dew nor rain, but according to my word. Now, I am sure that had Elijah said to Ahab something dealing with Ahab's kingdom and under his dominion, the king would have said, off with his head. But Ahab had no power or jurisdiction in the heavens. The Lord was the one who caused the rain. And I am sure that when this man spoke of giving to the Lord the honor due his name, I am sure that when the Lord said to Elijah to tell Ahab, Elijah probably didn't feel bad about it. He just says, I know God controls the rain. I know the Lord controls the heavens. And I will tell Ahab this. It was an easy thing to say according to my word. So Elijah did not intrude into the area of this earthly king. He spoke what God would have him to speak, because God was the one who had said to the son through Joshua, stand still. Joshua is doing my work. Or to the Red Sea, would you part and so that my people can cross? He didn't ask. He just said, the Red Sea is to part. He also said of the lions in the lion's den many years later, calling the lions. This is my spiritual imagination sort of running with me. Netherbell, lay down here for Daniel. Keep his feet warm. Susie May, now you take care of him and you be a pillow for him. Or Bob the bearded one, whatever his name is. I don't know what he was, what he called it. But he said, you just stand guard to see that none of these other boys get out of line while Daniel is standing there. Sleepy, he's tired, so take care of him. But the Lord commanded the animals, and Elijah had no problem. Elijah had no problem trusting the Lord in that regard. So he looked to the Lord, and the Lord provided for him during the night. He obeyed. But the thought for you and me is this. When we come to the part where he says, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee from a brook. Now, a brook is a little tiny watering hole that animals will quench their thirst in the night, in the day, or whenever there is no danger around them. It's a place where leaves fall into, and all kinds of little critters swim around it in that little pool of water. And as the man Elijah was considering this, perhaps he thought, and a raven of all birds, couldn't he have chosen a dove? You see, a raven is in my own Woodruffite terminology, a raven is a dirty bird. It'll eat anything, living or dead. I did a little research on the raven. They'll rob other birds of their nest. of their babies and of the eggs. Elite things that are dead or dying. And the Lord chose this raven to be the thing that would bring Elijah food. And Elijah was thinking, "No, Lord, I am your man. I'm your servant, Lord, and you're going to use a dirty bird to feed me." A dirty bird feeding a holy man? It just doesn't seem right. But you know, there are a lot of things the Lord does. He uses the small things to confound the mighty. That's how God works. The Lord doesn't need you or me to do his work, but we can be called laborers, co-laborers, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God is looking for someone who's willing to say, "Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'll do it." And we must ask ourselves, will we be that man or woman? So as the Lord works in a life, we ask ourselves, are we there yet? Are we at the spiritual level, maturity, where God would have us to be? Now, there are ways that we can check to see. How do we respond in crises? How do we respond to orders? How do we respond in waiting? How do we respond in seemingly unorthodox ways given to us by the Lord? You see, you are unique. There's nobody else like you. God made you different. He made only one of you, one of a kind, and there's nobody else like you. And the Lord may call you to do something that is different. However, I must hasten to say that whatever he calls you to do will always be in line with what he teaches from his word. It'll always be in line with what he teaches. He never goes contrary to that which he has already spoken. He is going to teach you and lead you and me in the same way that he has prescribed in his precious and holy word. So when we get to the place where we're content with the Lord providing a brook, why not a river? A raven, why not a dove? Why not a bird that eats only seeds? I read a little bit about the raven. Ravens are pretty smart birds, so it's been said. Whenever there are harsh winters and the food source is very scarce, ravens will circle high overhead looking for packs of wolves that are searching for food. And when the wolves have found food, if it's frozen or on its hoof or living, the ravens will circle about and wait to get the leftovers. And they move down. They are hardy birds. They don't mind scavenging. They don't mind getting the leftovers. And the Lord was giving this kind of bird to feed Elijah. I don't think the birds brought Elijah carrion or dead or rotting carcass, you know. Like the person says, "You know what? The chicken crossed the road to show the possum that it could be done." Now, here in the South, many of you might not understand that. But you see a lot of possums along the road, on the side of the road and having been hit by a car or something. But those car road kills provide a lot of food for many birds. I don't think the Lord brought Elijah food from one of these places. The scriptures say it brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. It was something that Elijah could eat. It was something that was acceptable with him. See, when the food comes directly from the Lord, it is you. Good. And you don't call unclean what God has cleansed and called and provided for you. We are grateful to the Lord for what he gives to us. Also, when the Lord calls you to a place and you are there, you will be content because you know that you're safe. When our children were small, there was a little game I used to play with my wife when it came time to go to bed. One of the things that she often had to have knowledge of are the doors locked. Did you check the back door? I'd say, "Yes, I did. I checked the back door. Is it locked?" "Yes," I'd say. And then I'd add the words, "I think." That didn't make her feel comfortable. So she'd have to get up. She would get up and go check. to see, or she would make me get up and go check to see. So when I was too tired, I didn't play that game. But it didn't make her feel good for me to say, I think the door is locked. Now, when you know that God is taking care of you, you don't have to watch over your shoulder. You don't have to wonder what's going to happen because God's resources are unlimited. Remember how the Lord Jesus was able to multiply the loaves and the fishes and feed the multitudes? Well, he can do that for you today. He can do that for you today. He can take care of you. When you come to the place to where you realize that God's going to take care of you, he is so good. He is the faithful God. You know, I wasn't told what to speak on this morning at chapel. Thought I'd speak on my favorite subject, the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. You know, we can work hard at certain things and work long hours. And I was also mindful of the fact that there is what is called the 10,000 rule. I'm sure you've probably heard of that. That if you want to be great in any sport or any music instrument or whatever it is you're striving to be great in, you have to put in at least 10,000 hours of practice. It was years ago that a dear friend of mine, Paul Wright, who is now the manager of WMUU, and I were fishing one morning. We weren't catching anything. And I said to him, I wonder how others are doing. And he said, oh, probably about the same. And I said, how can you say that? And he paused for a moment. He looked out across the lake. He says, I'm a good fisherman. He wasn't lying. I had been watching him. He's a good fisherman. And the truth of the matter is he was right. We didn't catch anything, but that morning I did catch the fish that got away. You're wondering, how could I tell it was the one that got away? You see, when a fish breaks a line, it doesn't come out of his mouth as soon as he gets out of the, as soon as he breaks the line. I, as Paul, retied the line and gave me his rod and I threw it out in the water. And the same fish grabbed the next bait. It was a greedy fish. I brought him in, put him in the pan and ate him. I should have kept the fellow and said, now this is one that got away, but I got him. You know, we often wonder, what size fish was it that broke the line? Well, anyway, I say that because Paul had spent many hours casting a line and bringing in fish. He knew well how to really fish. But you know, as far as we're in the work of the Lord, Joshua says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So if you'll keep your mind on the Lord, and Isaiah says you'll keep your mind stayed on the Lord, he'll keep you in perfect peace. That's how we grow in the Lord. We meditate daily on him. We submit moment by moment to his will, and we will see the Lord prove himself the faithful God who is good. Elijah was called of God to go to a place, and he says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The question, are you there yet? God called you to a place. Do you think the place is the great lesson? Oh, it's the start. It shows that you are thinking rightly. It shows that you're on the right track. But the Lord has more in store for you, that you come to the place to where you're willing to say, yes, Lord, you have done right. Yes, Lord, your will is perfect. Yes, Lord, I want what you want. I'm willing to receive my food from a raven. I'm willing to drink from this brook because, Lord, you chose that. You commanded that. And so as this king Ahab was not able to fight against the man Elijah, he learned that Elijah was God's man. You see, when God is dealing with various matters, in our lives, He wants us to trust Him. You never go wrong trusting the Lord. You may not understand how is God going to do a particular matter, but if you will trust Him, take Him at His word. He promised. And if I were to look out over this audience and ask you to raise your hand, many of you use that argument to get your parents to do what they promised. But Mom, Dad, you promised. Didn't you get you got where you wanted to go, didn't you? And God wants us to remember what He has promised. Some of you may be wondering, how am I going to go on? I don't have the resources. The Lord has said, but my God shall supply all your need. He will. When you get to the place and you are willing to just say, Lord, but you promise. I read this in your word. I believe you, Lord. And I'm going to trust you. You see, we cannot see the invisible God. The invisible God always sees us in the night, in the storm, in the lion's den, or in any kind of crisis or trials that we may encounter. He sees us. He knows us. And you are at the place now where you can learn that God is, and He is the faithful God. He'll never abandon you. He tells the fathers to provide for those of His own household. Do you suppose He would require of an earthly father more than He would require of Himself? Of course not. Learn while you're here to trust God, to believe that He is the faithful God. Learn to look into His word. And that's one of the greatest things that we can have. Here is a statement that I remember reading from someone. It said that if you can sing when others say there's nothing to sing about, then I know that you know my Savior. If you can pray when others say there is nothing to pray about or there is no use of praying, then I know that you know my Savior. And I add to that, if you can accept that God is and that He is the faithful God, He's the God of His word, and you can drink from the brook that the Lord has set before you, and you can be provided for by the means whereby God provides for you, then I can say that you are there. We are here. Yes. Are we there yet? You are there when you have that attitude, when you have that mindset. And my prayer to God for you, for all of us, is that we will learn to recognize that God is going to make good on any promise. He's not limited in His resources. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to You, dear God, that You allow us to be brought to hard places and difficult places. For these are times that we learn that the invisible God is taking care of His people. We ask You, Lord, to bless this message to our hearts. May the Spirit of the Lord Christ rest upon us. May we be duly submitted to God's holy will, knowing that Your will is perfect. For it is in Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen.